Welcome in. This is the 90s sampler tone emulation masterclass for drum and bass and jungle, built in Ableton Live 12 at an intermediate level. Here's the mindset for the whole lesson. The 90s sampler sound isn't one magic plugin, it's a workflow. It's a bunch of small, intentional degradations stacked in a way that feels like old hardware. Lower resolution, limited bandwidth, a bit of converter drive, slight instability, and then the most important part, committing it to audio by resampling and working from that printed result. By the end, you'll have a repeatable 90 sampler audio effect rack you can drop on any track, a resampling workflow for breaks that gets you into that 1994 headspace, and a practical drum and bass arrangement approach that rolls properly at 170 plus BPM. Let's start from the top. Source prep. This is where a lot of people skip ahead, and then wonder why the processing sounds like a harsh plugin instead of a sampler. Drag in a classic break, amen, think, funky drummer, anything with real internal ghost notes and cymbal movement. Set your project tempo to the drum and bass sweet spot, somewhere around 170 to 176 BPM. I'll use 174 as a nice center. Now click the audio clip and turn warp on. For breaks, set warp mode to beats, and set preserve to transients. Make sure transient loop mode is off. This tends to keep the hits punchy and the groove intact. If you need to do some editing and it's getting clicky while you move warp markers, you can temporarily switch to complex, just to get your clip aligned, then switch back to beats once your timing is right. Next, gain staging. Put a utility right after the sample, before we start building the tone chain, and pull the gain down so your peaks are landing around minus 10 to minus 6 dBFS. Teacher tip. Old samplers could be driven and they'd saturate in a flattering way. Ableton, if you slam it too early, can give you brittle digital nastiness. We're going to add input stage type drive on purpose, but safely. Alright, now we build the core 90 sampler tone rack. The order matters. Think in stages of damage, not one heavy effect doing all the work. First device, EQ8. This is your pre-emphasis shape. Even if you don't think you need it, it's subtle but crucial, because it sets up the conversion style vibe later. In EQ8, add a high pass filter around 25 to 35 Hz. 24 dB per octave. We're not trying to remove bass from drum and bass. We're removing rumble that eats headroom and makes the limiter behave weird. Then add a gentle high shelf, plus 2 to plus 4 dB somewhere around 6 to 10 kHz. And optionally, if the break feels boxy, put a small dip of about 2 dB around 300 to 450 Hz. Second device, saturator. This is your converter drive moment. Set the mode to analog clip. Put drive somewhere between 2 and 6 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then, and this part is important, level match the output so it's not just louder. If it gets louder, your brain will call it better, and you'll push too far. If you want extra bite, enable color and place at around 3 to 6 kHz. For drum and bass breaks, we usually want edge and density, not fuzzy guitar distortion. Keep it controlled. Third device, Redux. This is the sampler moment. This is where the texture really starts to talk. Start with downsample at about times 2 to times 6. Then set bit reduction somewhere around 10 to 14 bits. That range gives you grit without completely turning the drums into sand. Set the soft parameter around 0.10 to 0.30 to smooth the harshest edges. Here are two quick genre sweet spots. If you want crunchy jungle hats and that crispy, Alice-y top, go downsample times 4 to times 8 and bits around 10 to 12. If you want more of a rounded, punchy break that still hits, downsample times 2 to times 4, and bits around 12 to 14. Fourth device, auto filter. This is where the older feel often actually comes from. Bandwidth limitation. Old samplers often didn't give you full modern sparkle, and that limitation is part of why the drums feel blued and not hi-fi. Set auto filter to a low-pass filter at 12 dB per octave. Put the cutoff somewhere around 8 to 14 kHz. Add a tiny bit of resonance, around 0.2 to 0.5. And if you want, add a touch of drive, like 0 to 3 dB. Subtle. For darker jungle, bring the cutoff down to 6 to 9 kHz and suddenly you're in that dusty tape pack zone. Coach note here, if you reduce sample rate and bit depth before you control the very top end, cymbals can splatter. If you're getting brittle fizz, don't just blame Redux. Try lowering the filter a little earlier, or be gentler with downsampling. We want old and punchy, not painfully fizzy. Fifth device. Drum bus. This is your glue and transient control. Start with drive around 2 to 10%. Crunch at 0 to 20%. But be careful. Crunch can add brittle highs fast. Use transients to get the snap back, usually plus 5 to plus 20, unless your brake gets clicky, then back it down. Boom can be useful, but treat it like seasoning. Try 0 to 10% and set the frequency around 50 to 70 Hz, only if it helps. Sixth device, limiter or glue compressor if you prefer. I'll use limiter for clean peak catching. Ceiling at minus 0.8 dB. Add only enough gain to catch occasional spikes. We're not trying to squash life out of the brake. We're trying to stop random peaks from ruining the resample print. Now group these into an audio effect rack. This is where you make it performable. Map a macro called crunch to saturator drive and redux downsample. Map another macro called bits to redux bit reduction. Map air kill to the auto filter cutoff. Map punch to drum bus transients. Map thump to drum bus boom amount. And map output to a utility at the end of the rack so you can level match every time you /B. And I really want you to do that /B properly. Toggle the rack on and off, but keep the perceived loudness similar. If you need to, adjust output until bypass and enabled are within about a dB. This is how you dial a chain like a pro instead of chasing loudness. Next, sampler instability. This is the live part. It's subtle. If you overdo it, you'll just sound out of tune or sloppy. But if you do it right, it feels like hardware playback. Option 1 is clip envelope micro pitch. Open the clip envelopes, choose clip, then transposition, and draw tiny variations like plus or minus 3 to 9 cents every half bar or bar. Not constant warble, just little moments of drift. Option 2 is chorus ensemble. Very subtle. Amount around 5 to 15%, rate around 0.10 to 0.30 Hz. Very low delay time. This is not wide super saw. This is the sampler's playback is slightly wobbly. Option 3 is for one shots and simpler. Random start. For hats and perks, set rand on start to maybe 2 to 10%. This mimics inconsistent triggering and tiny start point differences, and it makes repetitive programmed hats feel like they came from chopped audio. Now we hit the key technique, resample like it's 1994. This is the part people skip, and it's the part that makes it feel real. Create a new audio track and name it Resample Print. Set audio from to your break track post effects, or even better, from your whole drum group, if you're printing the full drum bus vibe. Set monitoring to in. Arm the track and record 8 or 16 bars. Once recorded, consolidate it so you have a clean printed file. Now that printed audio is your sampled break. It's committed. It behaves differently than a live chain, because you're no longer processing fresh transients every time. You're working with the result, like you would after sampling into an S950 or SB-style workflow. Now rechop it. Drop the printed audio into simpler and choose slice mode. Slice by transient for natural chops, or by 1/16 if you want grid chops. Adjust sensitivity until it catches kicks and snares cleanly, without making a million tiny slices. Then create a MIDI clip and reprogram the groove. This is where jungle comes alive. You're not just looping a break, you're playing it. Quick programming guidance. Keep your main snare solid on 2 and 4. That's home bass. Then add 2 or 3 ghost slices per bar to get the roll and the shuffle. Keep velocities lower for ghosts, then use drum bus transients to bring back articulation without making everything loud. Now, arrangement. Let's do a practical 16-bar loop structure that actually rolls. Bars 1 through 8 are your main groove. You can optionally layer a modern clean kick under the break for sub punch. That's a very common modern meat-soled approach. Keep the sub and the main kick body controlled and clean, and let the dirt live in the break and mid-range. Put the snare on 2 and 4. Let the break provide the movement. Add a simple 1/16 hat pattern with small velocity changes, or use chopped break tops instead. Bars 9 through 16 are variation. At bar 16, do a 1-bar fill, duplicate the break, automate an auto filter sweep down, and automate crunch up just for that fill. Then add one classic move, reverse a snare tail, or even reverse a small cymbal fragment. That's the kind of micro ear candy that screams jungle without adding a whole new sound. Automation ideas that feel musical. Automate air kill to breathe every 2 to 4 bars. Automate crunch up on phrase ends and back down on the drop. And if you want a subtle energy lift, automate a tiny utility gain bump into the limiter for the last 2 beats of a phrase. Tiny, like half a dB. This is psychoacoustics, not brute force. Now let's apply the same philosophy to bass resamples, because 90s bass often came from resampled synth notes. Make a Reese and Wave Eatable. 2 saws, slight detune, low pass filter. Print a few notes to audio, like C1, D1, and F1. Then run that printed audio through your 90s sampler rack. But go easier on the high shelf and don't filter as aggressively. You want to keep weight. Then chop the bass audio into sampler, map it across keys, and add an auto filter envelope for pluck style movement with a short decay. The result should feel like the bass is stored in memory rather than a pristine synth output. It sits in the mix in a very 90s way. Before we wrap, common mistakes to avoid. 1. Overdoing redux. If cymbals turn into fizzy sand and the snare loses body, back off. You should still hear drum, not effect. 2. Skipping the resampling step. Live processing can sound cool, but print plus rechop is the commitment that makes it authentic. 3. Clipping before the chain. If your sample is already slamming 0 dBFS, you're not emulating a sampler. You're just destroying audio. Start with headroom, then add drive deliberately, then trim back. 4. Killing all the low end. Breaks are mid-forward, yes, but drum and bass still needs controlled low punch. Don't high-pass your life away. 5. Too much stereo whiteness. A lot of old break records feel centered and punchy. Do a quick mono discipline check. Temporarily put utility on your drum group and set width to 0%. If the groove collapses, you relied too much on stereo. Rebuild interest with ghosts, timing, filtering, distortion harmonics, and arrangement. Now, a couple advanced options to take this further. Try a parallel root chain, duplicate the break track, push redux harder, like x6 to x12 downsample and 8 to 12 bits, then low pass at 6 to 9kHz. Blend it quietly under your main break. It adds menace without ruining the main transients. Another powerful idea is printing multiple eras. Do one conservative print for the main groove and a nastier print for fills and variations. Then in arrangement, swap between main, dark, and rude states every 4 to 8 bars like a DJ tool. It evolves without adding new sounds. And here's a slick variation. Split your break into frequency bands with an audio effect rack using EQ8. Put subtle wobble only on the high band. Hats flutter. Kick and snare stay solid. That's the kind of detail that feels expensive. This audio version is shortened for playback.